All right, and welcome to September 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is for the men and women serving in the military. If you are serving, or if you have ever served, thank you. I assembled this podcast in a tool shed in my backyard, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out. TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and then give her a call. Area code 619-507-4906. And let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that is how we do things here. All right, so now moving on to today's headlines. The French and British square off in the Battle of Plains. Strati, the first 3D printed electric car, is completed in Chicago. Cook & Company shuts down as the Panic of 1873 sets in full swing. Amphibious Gage survives a metal rod through his head and becomes a jerk. All right, so now let's get started. In Canadian news, 1759. The French and British face off in Quebec. Known as the Battle of Plains of Abraham, this was a decisive victory for the British as they were able to take the city of Quebec during the French and Indian Wars. The Seven Years' War from 1756 to 63 had pitted France, Austria, Sweden, Saxony, Russia, and Spain against the alliance of Britain, Prussia, and Hanover. It spilled into North America, where the British discovered a fight that went against the normal protocols of European battle. They had trouble adjusting to the thick forests, where they had to lug their heavy cannon, and faced a different style of fighting from the Indians that included sneak attacks, snipers, and quick withdrawals. Thanks to the adjustments made by Robert Rogers and his Rangers, they were able to push the French back to present-day upstate New York, followed by Nova Scotia, ethically cleansing on the way, and then took control of the St. Lawrence River. Now they were looking to take the stronghold of New France, which was Quebec. In June 1759, General James Wolfe assembled a force at Louisbourg and surprised the French forces, led by Marquis de Montcalm from the south shore of Pont-Levis, where Montcalm was expecting an attack from the other side. Though the fight involved less than 10,000 troops between the two sides, the British victory led to the removal of the French from Canada. Both Wolfe and Montcalm were mortally wounded during the battle, but Wolfe knew he had won, and his dying words were, "Now, God be praised, I will die with peace." Also in the fight was a young Colonel William Howe, who would be one of the biggest players in the American Revolution. At face value, the battle seemed insignificant, but had tremendous consequences. You see, the colonists in North America realized they didn't need British protection. A proclamation was drawn up to keep the colonists from moving west of the Appalachians, which the British would not be able to enforce. As the British would move into New York, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts, their stronghold of the colonies became stronger, setting the stage for independence from Great Britain. 2014, Strati, first 3D printed electric car, is completed at Chicago International Manufacturing Technology Show. Several months prior to this, Local Motors organized a contest to see who could come up with the best 3D printed car. After 200 submissions came pouring in from all over the world, a handful was selected as finalists, and Italian car designer Michael Annoy won a fat prize of $85,000 and, of course, bragging rights to the first 3D printed car. It took 44 hours to print and 2 days to assemble. The car goes up to 40 miles an hour and can go about 100 to 120 miles depending on how the battery packs are used. Back in 2010, another semi-3D car was printed called the Irby, but only the body was printed and not the internal structure. In the case of the Strati, everything except for the battery, motor, wiring, and suspension were outsourced, but still installed by Local Motors. 1873, Cook and Company shuts down as the Panic of 1873 sets in full swing. Jay Cook has had more invested in America than most banks. He brokered federal funds for the North during the Civil War and made millions doing so. With his earnings, he invested into the Northern Pacific and Union Railroads during the Reconstruction. Meanwhile, in Europe, Germany demonetized silver from their currency in 1871, so the Deutschmark was based on gold only. 2 years later, America did the same thing when President Ulysses Grant signed the Coinage Act of 73, aka the Crime of 73, which I get into on my February 12th ep. This sent the economy into a tailspin, and other nations who invested in international currencies also found themselves in a tailspin. The Bank of Vienna and the Austro-Hungarian capital had failed, sending rippling effects throughout Europe. Back at home, a raging fire in Chicago in 1871 and another in Boston in 1872 damaged local economies. Out west, Jay Cook and Company relied ultimately on accurate speculatives. The Northern Railway was funded by over 60 million acres worth of federal land grants, all signed over to Cook's firm, which he used as insurance to sell more stock and secure more loans. President Grant's contraction of the money supply raised interest rates, and investors were no longer concerned in those 60 million acres of railroad land. Just when Cook was about to swing a $300 million government loan, word was out that he wasn't making payments of any kind, and on this day in 1873, declared bankruptcy. The panic had begun. The shockwave resulted in the New York Stock Exchange closing down for nearly 2 weeks. The panic would last until 1879. Though Grant made an exceptional war hero, as president he had many scandals. The U.S. economy was thriving before the Civil War, averaging 6% growth, dropped 24% in the years after the panic. To stop the bleeding, Secretary of Treasury William Richardson decided to exchange $26 million in greenbacks for U.S. bonds, which would lead to major shakeups within the political parties. The Republican Party had varying views on Reconstruction. Silver and gold, for that matter, was a critical issue in every presidential campaign. The panic gave rise to the likes of Andrew Carnegie, John Rockefeller, Cyrus McCormick, who would eventually secure interests and holdings and buy out their competitors. A schism split between the workers and the banking and manufacturing owners, leading to a railroad strike in 1877, which is a whole nother story. Many economists believe that the panic was a precursor to the big ones in 1893 and 1929, to which I say, duh. Phibius Gage survives a metal rod through his head and turns into a jerk. While he was working on the railroad in Vermont, Gage had a serious accident. He and his crew were blasting rock into tamping iron, smoothing out sand and clay, and somehow the charged metal iron sparked against a little bit of powder, and boom! 13-inch rod went right through Gage's cheek below the eye to the top of his skull. Miraculously, Gage survived and was actually speaking on his way to the hospital. For 12 years, Gage lived his life as his evil twin. That's right, Mr. Congeniality turned into Mr. No Fun. His physician, John Martin Harlow, said, quote, "He is fitful, irreverent, indulgent at times in the grossest profanity, which was not previously his custom," unquote. His friend said he wasn't the same Gage. Even the folks at Rutland and Burlington Railroad Company, where Gage was one of the better foremen, now got rid of him. You know what they say, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Gage, turned out, had lost much of his frontal lobe, and his behavior became a curiosity in the world of neuroscience, which considered Phibius Gage to be their most famous patient. However, the reality is that there's not a lot of documentation on Gage's personality before or after the accident, so, in many cases, the study of neuroscience has theorized how the brain path of the tamping iron affects behavior, or something. Anyway, as time went on, Gage's mental disabilities appeared to go away. He actually spent some time as a stagecoach in Chile, where he supposedly had a good personality and was able to focus on his job. He died of a seizure in 1860 at age 36, a dozen years after his accident. He has a memorial in Cavendish, Vermont. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for September 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what you thought about today's episode. What about some of the stories that I didn't talk about today but are on the website? For example, do you know the entire Star Spangled Banner? I'd sing it for you, but trust me, you do not want to hear me sing. If you've ever heard Mr. T sing the Star Spangled Banner, I'm actually worse than he is. Or what about the story on the Attica prison riots? Can you believe that Nelson Rockefeller managed to serve 4 years as vice president under Gerald Ford? Many believe he should have served at least 4 years in prison. So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. Good luck with that. And don't miss tomorrow's program. I'll talk about the Iraq War, the typewriter ribbon, Marble Palace, fall TV lineup news with the Waltons and Mork and Mindy, and LeBron James. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. Stands for Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.